Oh, good morning and welcome. Well, good morning to our friends on the West Coast and Central Time, and good afternoon to our friends on the East. This is The Buzz, Studio W, The Buzz, that is, your global radio network. We circle this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the finest in broadcasting found anywhere around the world. And now it's time for The Eden as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show with your host, Ann Wooten-Taylor. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Doing good. A lot of rain out here today on the East Coast.
Yeah, it's been raining here on and off too, but it is spring, so that's kind of what goes on in the spring.
Oh yeah, and that is true. That is true. You know, and as a matter of fact, it's just the exact opposite of what I lived in and witnessed in when I was in California. It hardly ever rained there. I think we talked about that a lot of times.
Yes, William. We know it never rains in Southern California.
It never rains. Yeah, there's a song about that, too.
Yes, so, there is, William.
Well, seriously.
Y'all know the song. Tony made sure we know that it doesn't rain in Southern California.
Well, you know, actually, I don't like the song. I really don't.
I love the song.
Oh, do you? Okay. Oh, there's your guest there. All right.
Okay. I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs. So don't mess with the song here. that's one of my jams.
Okay, all right. Well, you can have it. There's millions and millions of songs out here. So, you know, you have a right to choose, you know, what you like.
Thank you. I'm so glad you agree. while we're talking about that, I need that song that you play for me, Yahweh.
Yes.
I need you to send me a text message, you know, so I can get the song. You know what I'm saying? With the person's name and the title so I can get the song.
Okay, I'll be glad to. I'll send you a text this morning. Yeah, this is by David G. Yahweh.
Yes, yes, yes. I remember the song Yahweh. The name of the song is Yahweh. I never remember his name. And you know.
Right.
As Christians, we talk about Yahweh a lot, so we could be digging for a while.
Absolutely.
Looking for it. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you taking care of that for me.
No problem at all. I'm going to step aside. You have a special guest on.
I do. A fan favorite. Mrs. Marie McKenzie is back with us. We're going to be talking about her International Sexual Assault Recovery Institute in a few minutes. So it's going to be an awesome show. But before we do that, I guess I better, you know, maybe introduce myself to Mom. I'm Ann Wooten-Taylor. I'm the CEO of Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries. And this is the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show. Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries is a nonprofit organization. We teach the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. We do that through our 12-week health and fitness course, which is coming up in August, folks. So you got a few more months to prepare, but about August 19th or so, we're going to start our new health and fitness course. You'll be able to sign up. We'll let you know when it's time for you to start registering for the class. So be prepared. Stay on the lookout. Keep listening. They'll let you know, all right? All right. But before we tell you more about that, it's time for our weekly motivation. Our motivation is designed to encourage you to stay the course. If you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, we want to inspire you to get up and try again if you fell down somewhere along the way. And if you haven't been able to find a reason to, you know, take care of your health and fitness, we want to motivate you today through Jesus Christ. So today's motivation is entitled, Give Him the Glory. When you lose weight, everyone wants to know how you did it, especially the people in your circle who are overweight themselves. The conversation usually goes like this. Girl, you look so good. You lost some weight, didn't you? What are you doing? In the past, you've probably overheard a similar discussion. Pose the question to a person who's lost weight yourself, or you've been asked the question during a time when you've enjoyed weight loss success. People ask because everybody's looking for the secret formula, the magic pill, the weight loss solution that'll finally work and set them free from the agony of their own heavy, often diseased bodies. The person on the receiving end of the question usually smiles proudly and gushes all about how much weight they shed, how many inches lost, what dress size they're wearing. And of course, they tell you all about the new diet gimmick, the diet fad, the pill, the gym, the weight loss program, whatever it is that they're currently using. In other words, the weight loss plan gets all the glory. The slimmer person sings his praises to all who will listen, and everybody jumps on that proverbial bandwagon for a while. Unfortunately, a week, a month, or on a really good stretch, a year later, they all regain the weight they lost and added a few more pounds. In other words, they're worse off now than they were before. When you eat as an act of worship, things are different. First and foremost, you recognize that your problem is rooted in sin, and the only way to uproot the sin is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Second, this revelation leads you to understand that no diet plan is ever going to work for you long term apart from Him. Consequently, you have no choice but to give God the glory for what He alone has done. He guides you to the diet plan that's perfect for your body type. He strengthens you when you're weak and want to give up. He gives you the grace to be permanently set free from the sin of gluttony, making an idol of your stomach, or otherwise failing to eat and drink for His glory. And He makes you healthy and fit for life. Accordingly, when God delivers you and blesses you to reach your weight loss goals, always be careful to give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name.
Amen.
If you're ready to get healthy and fit through Jesus Christ and give Him all the glory for it, purchase your copies of the Eating as an Act of Worship workbook and the Eating as an Act of Worship Teacher's Edition online today at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. In the books, you'll learn the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. Don't forget to read our weekly blog for motivation to stay healthy and fit through Christ, and follow us daily on Facebook, Threads, LinkedIn, and Pinterest for recipes and diet and exercise tips. Tune in to our syndicated radio show on iTunes, Spotify, The Narrative Matters, Studio WBuzz, and Victory KVDW 100.9 FM, 95.3 FM, and 1530 AM in Little Rock, Arkansas for interviews and health and fitness trends. Lastly, please make your tax-deductible donation to Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries at www.eatingasanactofworshipministries.org. All right, everybody, that's your motivation for this week. We hope and pray it encouraged you to stay the course if you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, that it inspires you to get up and try again if you fell down somewhere along the way, and that it motivates you to take charge of your health and fitness through Jesus Christ. All right, now, you guys may remember last year was a phenomenal year for me. God blessed me to have to participate in two anthologies, both of which were published last year, the Love Manifesto anthology, and we have the brainchild of the second number one, Amazon number one best-selling anthology, Miss Marie McKenzie with us today. As a matter of fact, Marie, you wrote a second book that goes with the anthology that we did together, didn't you?
Yeah, there's a companion journal.
I thought you did. So Miss Marie McKenzie, if you may recall, is an award-winning and Amazon number one best-selling author. She's the secretary of the Central Florida Writers and Publishers Guild. She's an international speaker, an educator, a registered nurse with over 25 years of experience, and she is also a sexual assault recovery coach. She helps her clients overcome their sexual assault triggers and find intimacy within their relationships. Marie is a board member of the Florida Council Against Sexual Violence and a former board member of the Inner Truth Project, a nonprofit organization that works with survivors of sexual violence to help them regain their voices, heal, thrive, and survive. When she's not working with women on their journey, Marie collaborates with various organizations dedicated to helping those affected by diverse traumas. She enjoys the vibrant life of Orlando alongside her husband, George. Welcome back to the show, my friend. It's so good to have you with us again.
Thank you so much for having me, Hannah. And always enjoy being here.
love, love, love having you here. Now, tell us a little bit about, before we get into the main topic, from Stuck to Limitless and the companion book that you've written to go with it.
From Stuck to Limitless is an anthology compilation of 13 stories from individuals, including our host, Ann Wharton, mm-hmm. where we share our stories, overcoming traumas, thriving, surviving, and reaching back to helping others. It's, as you said, it's an Amazon number one bestseller. Mm-hmm. Every time I go to book shows, it flies off my table. Mm-hmm. You know, people are buying it for their spouses, for themselves, and for a friend, both mm-hmm. male and female. Mm-hmm. So it mm-hmm. has outsell all of my books ever since it was published.
Right. Look, your books too?
Yeah, whenever I go to a show, always.
Right, right.
The cover drags them in, they read it, mm-hmm. and, oh, mom, buy this for so-and-so. Mm-hmm. You know, I know someone who can read this. And, you know, then the companion journal just helps you, guide you as you go along so you can document and keep track of how it helps you and you can share it with others.
Amen.
We have a therapist that bought copies for her clients.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. That's such a blessing.
The workbook. Yes.
Wow. That is awesome. I love it. Praise the Lord.
So every time I appear on in a meeting and I share about myself, I share about the books and, mm-hmm. you know, I'm in the sexual assault prevention and healing mm-hmm. circle. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's the word goes around and people are always asking for it.
You know, I praise the Lord for the privilege and the honor, for putting me on your heart as one of the people to choose to be a part of it. And my, portion of the book is about being sexually, abused and the long-term effects that, I endured and how the Lord used it to change me, to actually get me to this particular point,
right.
In my life. But you deal with all kinds of trauma, in the book. You know, we, not just my story and your story, but other people talk about, you know, post-traumatic stress from, you know, being in the war or being held at gunpoint. You know, I mean, there are just so many different
Yes.
aspects that are brought to bear. Why did you choose to not only write, you know, this anthology with all those different points of view, but to help people who are dealing with trauma on a regular basis?
Well, it was following God's direction. Initially, I thought that I should do an anthology with clients who mm-hmm. were going through the process of healing from their sexual assault triggers and finding intimacy with their relationships. But God told me trauma is not just limited to sexual assault. Amen. You know, you have the veterans. You have the veterans. You have people who suffer from through toxic relationships, mm-hmm. dead issues for, you know, different reasons. Plus mm-hmm. sexual assault, whether it be as an adult or from childhood. Mm-hmm. So, and that led me to all the different people, and one by one, you know, it was like God picked this one, that one, you know, and it was like, it came together so beautifully.
Praise the Lord.
And these stories were new. People had not like shared these stories, you know, they were like books out there about the stories before. They were all fresh.
Right.
I remember one of the co-authors, you know, telling me how cathartic it was for her because she had not been like very public with her mm-hmm. story.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. you know, the healing that came out of writing for, you know, the different authors and, you know, the journey was powerful.
Amen. Amen. Now, you are not only an author and life coach who talks about these things, but you are a sexual assault nurse. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm a sexual assault nurse examiner. So I started while I was in the emergency room where I encountered survivors, you know, cared for them. Then when I left the hospital, I also care for them and currently in the clinical, in the community setting. So that's like a passion of mine.
So is, and what led you to that passion? I mean, because when you think about a lot of things that people are passionate about, helping folks who are dealing with that type of thing doesn't seem to be far up on the list. How, you know, so it's like, how can you want to go and do this on a regular basis?
You know, it's not easy. As a nurse, we care about, it's really an emergency room. You see people from all walks of life, but encountering survivors of sexual violence brought me back to my childhood. I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. So, and I was there, you know, encouraging, supporting, because that's who I am as a person. I'm a nurturer. And plus the training as a nurse. And that's one thing I've always wanted to be, like my aunt, to such a passionate nurse. And I'm glad I got to do that. But I hadn't healed from my sexual assault. That was buried and festering, causing depression, you know, anxiety, no boundary setting, you know, not being able to communicate my needs to spouse or, you know, anybody else, just shut in, you know.
Right.
So, you know, one day it just came to me, like, you're giving all this advice and encouraging survivors. Why not take that for yourself?
Wow.
So through working, yes, through working with survivors in the hospital setting, I encountered people and organizations that support healing for survivors and supporting them. So through that, I gained insights and resources that I used to help me heal, survive, and thriving. So, and that's, I developed a passion. God called me to do this work, and it's just, I'm not really a joy. I'm glad I'm doing it, but it can be heartbreaking to know that humans can do that to another human, you know, especially to children. And I don't work directly with children, but I do work with adults who were abused as children.
But it, but you know, it's when you have found, or the Lord has led you to your purpose, you do get joy from it. I mean, no, you're not happy that somebody's hurt, but finding out why you're put on this earth and then walking in that purpose every day, doing what you, there is joy in that. And I don't know how to explain it to somebody who hasn't found this, that place yet. But when you are truly doing what you are meant to do, you know, it doesn't matter that they're highs. It doesn't matter that they're lows. You just can't stop doing it. Even the hard parts, Marie can probably attest to, oh my gosh, the portion of book writing that deals with, you know, the final product, you know, the rewrites. The proofread, all that, that's not fun.
You mean JL's red ink?
but writing the material itself is such a joy, especially when, you know, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you first, but so you're getting blessed first, and then you, you know, you, I call myself a secretary taking divine dictation. I just write down.
Ooh, what, I love that.
What he's told me to do, you know, so that other people can get the blessing too. So it there's joy in it. So I can truly see you, even though you may shed tears, you know, even though you end up going in, into deep prayer, for these people because they've been hurt, still finding joy because Jesus is our joy. And that's something that people don't understand. It's not happiness.
And you know that just helping them overcome what's keeping them down, and you see the tears turn to smile or tears of sadness or tears of joy. That brings me joy.
Yes. You know, I've been thinking about introducing you to a pastor that I had the privilege to interview a few years ago. He's a sexual abuse survivor, and he's written a book. A powerful book. Oh my gosh.
What's his name?
I'm gonna find his name and
because
give it
I'm reading
to
a book by a pastor.
Are you reading? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's Tim Hine, I think his name is. Tim.
No,
something.
That's not him. I don't believe that's him. He's out of the Missouri area, but I really do want the two of you to meet, and for you to read his book and him to read yours, because I think the two of you, through Christ can truly do some great things together.
I would love that.
Yes. But he said something that, and I'm getting to a question, believe it or not, but when he was on, he talked about, how he goes to different churches, preaching about sexual assault, and, he usually, tells everybody at the end, of preaching, that if they were a victim and they want him to pray for them, to stand up. And he's like, you'd be surprised how much of the church stands up. And it's like, we as a Christian community, I don't think we do service, justice to the group of people that are victims of sexual assault. So I want to first get you to tell us statistics, because number one, if this is going on in the world, and the world is what, we become believers out of the world and come into the church, I'm just wondering how many of those people are going to church with you every Sunday, every Wednesday. What I'm saying?
It's going on in the church.
It is.
A lot of perpetrators are in the pulpits and the pews.
Exactly. And doing it together. not just one person.
We don't address that enough.
We don't.
I am happy to see that pastors are speaking about it from the pulpit.
Right.
A lot of it is happening right in the church. Children and women are being sexually abused and people are turning a blind eye.
Yes.
It's not happening in secret. People know about it. And
that's the sad part. People always seem to know. They always seem to know, but they don't protect the person who can't protect themselves, especially when it's a child. You talked about that being a passion of yours. I remember when I first, got my license to practice law, I worked for the state suing parents who abused or neglected their children. And there was all types of trauma. But the children who were abused were really close to my heart. And I was always so shocked how the family would rally around the abuser, the person who does the abusing instead of the abuser. I'm sorry, instead of the person who was abused. Why would you protect? And it's always in the name of the family. Always in the name of the family.
What happened about the abuser?
Exactly. And I'm like, okay.
The abused.
Right. So why would you want to protect the person doing the abusing instead of protecting the abused person? And it happened over and over and over again. It still is a shock to me.
This gives the abuser the license to
keep doing
abuse
it.
Others. Yes.
Keep doing it.
Because that's what happened to me. I didn't share, so they didn't know that I was abused until I was an adult. However, that same perpetrator made his way through the family, through the community, and everybody knew.
Everybody. Yes. And when you do tell, because I didn't keep my mouth closed. I told the very first time it happened with the uncle. I told. And I was basically told that he said that that's not what happened. And that I lied.
Beaten and accused of lying.
Right. And apparently I later found out that he'd done it to two of my other aunts. When they were growing up. And they, when they became adults were like, look, please don't let your child be around so-and-so. And nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody wanted to listen to it. Are we serious right now? Really?
Yes.
So tell us, if you don't mind, what the statistics are on sexual assault. Because I think when you hear how prevalent it is, it kind of jolts the sensibilities, and so that you recognize it. Okay, this, you know, that's way too high. You know, this should be like a one-off, you know, something that happens every now and then, but it's happening all the time.
Yes. The latest statistics I read was one in every four women will have experienced sexual assault in her lifetime, and one in every 10 men.
Wow.
Now, when you think that sexual assault is one of, or if not the most underreported crime, you know that it's high. The statistic is higher.
It's much higher.
Yeah.
Much higher than that.
In the United States, every 68 seconds, someone is sexually assaulted. Every 68 seconds, chew on that. And every 9 minutes, that someone is a child.
Wow. Wow.
Every 9 minutes, that someone is a child.
And then you have these same people who go on to do everyday things. You know, you wonder why the person checking you out at the grocery store is rude every time you go in there. You wonder, you know, why somebody seems frigid and cold, because people react in different ways to sexual abuse. Some people come promiscuous. Some people, you know, become very closed off and don't want any contact at all. Some people, you know, it seems like it never happened to
them.
Yeah, it's different. And so you have all of this coming into the church as well. And you can't recognize who's been hurt and who hasn't just by looking.
Or who's doing the hurting.
Exactly. Exactly. Because they tend to look and act normal, like they're, you know, the salt of the earth too, don't they?
Yes. And all the statistics, 80 to 90% of perpetrators are known to the victim.
Wow.
So it's either parents, teachers, coaches, pastors,
family members, friends,
siblings, family members. Yes. Mm-hmm. Neighbors.
So what led you to the International Sexual Assault Recovery Institute? Tell me how that came to be.
Well, when I wrote my book, my memoir, Things That Keep Me Up at Night, I saw how it helped others to start sharing their stories. Mm-hmm. Even if they didn't go public like I did, they were reaching out to others. They were reaching out to me. One friend told me that she had recommended to the social workers at her job, and they were using it in group sessions with survivors of sexual violence. So I was, people were calling me, I was sharing them, I was sharing tips. So I decided to, you know, use my nursing skills, transition that with life experience and, you know, coach others. I could help more people in a more meaningful way.
Now, you are limiting yourself to America. You said international. So how does that work? You have people, look, I know you've got a lot of friends in the Caribbean. I have met them and been introduced to them. And I'd like to say they're my friends now, too.
Yes.
So, and I mean, I remember one lady's in Holland, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. So you're stretching
so
far
and wide. I've been consulted, but by people from different areas of the world.
Awesome.
So how I find, how people find me is through, you know, programs like this. I have a free gift that I share, SARecoveryGift.com. And they reach out. We get on a call and we talk about who they are, what happened to them, and, you know, assess their needs. Meet them where they are and customize a plan that's just for that person.
And you know, we just mentioned a moment ago that people respond differently to trauma. So how is it, you know, that you are able to recognize any emotional or mental or physical or spiritual trauma, you know, in people just everyday meetings, not to mention those who, you know, you are talking to long distance, when you're coaching them?
Well, we are talking and, we're asking, I'm asking questions, you're answering questions. So it's a conversation, you know, are they comfortable? What are they comfortable sharing with me?
Right.
And then we go from there.
You know, very often we lie to ourselves when it comes to thinking that we're over stuff, that we've, you know, forgiven and forgotten. When in my experience, forgiveness takes place more than once, at least it did for me. I had to choose to forgive over and over and over again. And it wasn't like I had to do it every single day, but when that thing comes up, you have a choice to be angry, to seek revenge, to, you know, to let it fester on the inside, or you have a choice to forgive. And so it had to take place in my life over and over and over again. So how does a person who's lying to themselves, like they're over it, that they're done, what can they see as a telltale sign of, say, an unresolved emotional trauma?
First, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, I tell the client or anyone, it's for you. Forgiveness is not for the perpetrator. It's forgiving them so you don't have to keep reliving it and, you know, getting angry, getting anxiety over and over and over again.
Amen.
So So you asked about ways it manifests. Mm-hmm. That was your question, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Ways that it manifests. I remember for me, for years, I had debilitating abdominal pain.
Oh, wow.
Many doctor visits without a diagnosis. Wow. Yeah, that was one of the ways it showed up for me. And that's one of the ways it shows up for many others. Wow. So they may have physical symptoms, may have chronic health issues, diabetes, heart disease. I learned over time, yes, the body keeps the score.
Wow.
The body keeps the score. Yes.
Wow.
There may be intimacy issues. Pulling away from a spouse. I remember one lady I spoke with, she'd been married for several years, had three children, loving relationship. And one day the husband reached out to embrace her and she pulled back.
Wow.
She was triggered. Yes. His embrace brought her back to that ugly place when she was assaulted.
Wow.
That you may have issues setting boundaries. Your boundary was violated without your permission. Now you are afraid to say, this is what I want. I don't want that, you know, issue communicating even basic needs or desires to your spouse. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, are there people who, you know, can't say no, that just that their first thing, their first response is, okay, they're so used to being sexually abused that they respond to everything with sex.
Yes. Yes.
And that's,
I had one lady I spoke with, she's now late 30s, early 40s. And she thought all the time she was sexually assaulted was just a misunderstanding. She said it had happened so many times, she thought it was just a misunderstanding. She was in college and sharing with one of her friends what had happened with one of her acquaintances. And she said, you were raped.
Right.
And that's when she acknowledged, oh my God, I've been raped several times. Rape is never a misunderstanding.
No, it is not.
Sexual assault is never a misunderstanding.
But we have to rationalize it some kind of way, or it can drive you crazy. I mean, there are people who suffer a lot of mental health issues because of sexual assault. Can you, you know, describe that for some people who may not realize that this, you know, 1 + 1 is equaling 2 in their lives?
Yes. A lot of mental health issues. People are diagnosed with mental health issues and it's not recognized that it's the result of unresolved trauma. I forgot the psychologist and the book I heard of recently that where she wrote about this very topic. And I need to get it. Yes, that it was not, people were diagnosed with schizophrenia, depression and different mental health diagnoses when it was in fact symptoms of unresolved trauma due to sexual assault.
Wow. Wow. Now you mentioned, people having issues with intimacy. Is there a way to overcome that? I mean, because I can only imagine the person you mentioned, you know, the confusion that her husband felt, especially if he didn't know what happened to her all those years ago.
She had never told him.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. So how do you counsel both the person who was abused and their spouse?
So far I've not had a couple, but that's not something I'm opposed to.
But yeah, so the person who was abused, I guess one of the things is there a way to get back, you know, to a healthy, normal relationship, whether it's sexual or platonic? Because some people just don't like the sex of the person who abused them. You know, like you may find a person has an aversion to men because that person was raped by, you know, a group of men. You just never know. But is there a way to get back to normal?
Absolutely. There are tools and strategies to overcome the triggers and get back to having intimacy with your spouse.
You mentioned triggers. What do you mean by triggers?
Triggers like sights, sounds, smells, anything that bring you back to that place. Triggers are, it's different for everyone, but it causes you to relive the experience. It's almost as if it was happening right now when your body is responding the way you did at the time when it happened. So those are triggers. And there are tools and strategies to combat them, to keep them at bay, especially during times of intimacy when you want to be enjoying, you know,
the Exactly. So, you looked like you were trying to tell me something else before I asked about triggers. Did you want to go back to that?
I just had a brain fart. I don't know why.
Oh, it's okay. So when we're talking about ways to combat triggers, let's like giving an example. Say somebody is triggered by, you know, the smell of pumpkin spice because it happened, you know, around Thanksgiving. What do you do in a situation like that?
One of the things that worked for me, and I often use with people who come to see me, is grounding technique.
Okay.
Like reminding myself where I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at things that's in the environment. Like be present.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what am I seeing? What am I smelling? What can I touch? So I know I'm in a safe place.
Environment.
I am not at the place where that hungry thing happened.
Exactly. Oh,
so
wow.
Yes.
Wow. So I'm curious about, you know, what would be your advice to somebody who's going through this, never, you know, sought help, what would you say their step one should be?
Acknowledge that they need help. Acknowledging that you need help is the first step, because if you don't acknowledge it, then you won't go look for the help.
Right.
I was at one of my book signings, and someone, a young lady, picked up from Stuck to Limitless. She read, flipped the page, put it down. I'm not ready to deal with my shit. So I'm like, good for you. You're already ahead. You have acknowledged that you have shit to deal with. Yes. Yes. She's a survivor and she's acknowledging that she has shit to deal with. So when she's ready. Yeah.
And then she can move forward from there.
Exactly.
That is
acknowledged.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that people need to recognize that there are steps, and they need to recognize when they can deal with it. Because I am a believer that when the stuff comes up, your body is allowing it to come up. Your mind is allowing it to come up because you're ready for the next step. It not saying that it's easy to deal with it, you know, but if you're having nightmares about it and it's, you know, 10 years later and you've been sleeping just fine, and you know, you're waking up shivering and sweating, your mind is ready to process what happens. That's just me. I think personally, your body is giving you time to, you know, to recover from it physically as well as mentally. And now it's time to take that next step forward. So what happens when you don't? You know, what happens when you suppress all of that again and again and again?
One day it just flares up in a massive way. Like the woman who went to the gynecologist, not her first visit, and the police had to be called because she was triggered so badly. The husband, who didn't know she was assaulted, was like very, you know, everybody was very shocked because she had not shared the experience because it had happened when she was young.
So
that's how sometimes the trigger just comes out of the blue. Mm-hmm. Because you've been suppressing instead of acknowledging and working through.
So is that like post-traumatic stress syndrome, or is this something totally different?
It is similar to post-traumatic stress syndrome. And research has shown that sexual assault survivors, it's just like coming back from the war, or more so. Yes.
Wow. So once they've acknowledged it and they recognize that there's a problem, what should they do next?
Reach out for support. Reach out for help.
So was that
get someone who specializes in the help that you need. And it may not be the first coach or the first therapist, because you won't get along with everyone. You won't like everyone. Yeah.
Exactly.
So
now, when you're reaching out for help, and I'm glad you mentioned that you don't want to just stop because this person has the right credentials after their names. I think it should be somebody that you trust.
Yes.
Somebody that, you know, you feel comfortable with. Does that include, telling the people in your circle about what's happening, or is it just strictly going to get support from a professional?
It's up to you. If you feel like you need to share it with the people in your circle, then it's up to you. It's just like sharing it with a spouse. It's up to you. I mean, I feel it should be shared with a spouse because when you're triggered, then that person will be able to support you.
Right. And understand.
He or she knows and understands. Mm-hmm. So it's up to the survivor. But yes.
So, you know, when you're looking for a professional, because different people do different things. I'll just share for those who are listening. I remember, that came up when I was in college. I thought I was doing fine and it just started bugging me all over again. And it was after I'd met, my husband and Maria tell you, I talk about it, in the book. We were dating and everything was just perfect. And then all of this, as Marie so eloquently put it, stuff started coming up. And it was just bothering me. And so I went to, we were in college at the time. I went to talk to the college person about it. And I was like, you know, I've been watching, you know, this, it was a popular talk show and they had somebody on talking about journaling, to get through trauma, and I was trying to do that. And I just broke down crying, and he's like, what is wrong with you? You know what? Because we were sitting there and he's studying, I'm doing my thing. And I was thinking, this is a perfect time for me to just get some, you know, jot some stuff down. And it was killing me, really really painful. And of course, I ended up having to tell him what happened. And it was it ended up being a blessing because I did tell him what happened. But I told the therapist, I was like, I don't like it. I hate the journaling thing. It doesn't feel good to me. It seems to make it worse. And she's like, then don't do that.
It's not for everyone.
That person, that means it's gonna work for you. And I mean, it kind of set me free from that in a way. But then I didn't, you know, I just said, oh, I don't have to do that. And I didn't deal with it in another way. And I started to deal with the depression by eating, which is how I ended up gaining so much weight. So what do you say to people, you know, who may be similarly situated? You know, I'm trying to deal with it, but the method, just, you know, the method that they're trying to use to deal with it isn't working. How do you keep going, to deal with it when, you know, if you're like me, you don't like journaling. But of course going to, you know, smoke weed in a choice, you know, going to do something like that shouldn't be the answer. So what do you do next?
So there are different methods that different coaches or therapists use. So if you are with someone who's using a method that you don't like, let them know, because there are alternatives. If they don't have what you need, then find somebody else, because there are so many different alternatives out there.
Well, what can you just give us a couple of examples?
There is shadow work, which I don't do. I don't practice that. That's one of them. There is meditation. There are affirmations. There are different body of work, working on inner child techniques. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's one of the ones I'm developing because I really like that. Reparenting your inner child, what you would have liked as a child that wasn't done for you.
Oh, wow. I love that. Yeah, so I love that.
So there are so many things out there that can help you move from being stuck to limitless, finding intimacy. Yes, I have to use that. Yes.
Now, let's just have some more real talk, because I love real talk. We live in a microwave, Google AI society that gives you instant gratification. Even when the AI is lying, it will come up with something for you, some type of answer for you, because that's the type of world we live in. Should people, you know, expect this to be resolved quickly? Because that's what they're used to. They're used to quick fixes. What should they expect in terms of a time frame of for healing to take place?
There is no time frame. Each person is going to walk their own journey, which the length and breadth of it is unique to you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're going to take 2 steps forward and 4 backwards.
Amen.
So just be committed and be consistent.
Amen.
And if one day you feel like you fall behind, it's okay. Just pick up and keep going.
Amen. Amen.
There is no time frame. There is no, just get over it.
Right, yeah. Right. Cause I must say that I, like I said, I thought I was over it, And then, it comes up again. And it comes up when you're least expecting it. Sometimes, you know, you're like, why in the world am I dealing with this again? It just depends on the situation. The man that I was telling you about, Pastor Monty Weatherall, that's his name, Monty Weatherall, and his book is called Taking My Life Back. He sent me a copy of it and I was reading it and I couldn't finish it. I mean, it was just that it took me back. I mean, I literally started thinking about my own stuff and I was like, okay, I can't do it. It was about him, but I couldn't help but to, you know, think about me. And it was just that compelling, just that riveting, a book. And so when I realize for me that something is taking me, you know, to that place that's very difficult for me to get out of, because I'm, you know, like I said before, I dealt with depression. A lot of it stems from those things that were happening. So I realized, okay, that's a pit I can't go down because it's very difficult for me to get out of it. So I basically, you know, I talked to him about the book and interviewed him, and he is a wonderful, wonderful man. But I learned for me what will work and what will not work. So how should people, you know, come to recognize these things? Because sometimes things happen and you don't realize that this is a pattern, even though you're going round and round in circles. And so you don't know how to get off of that roller coaster or that train that isn't getting you anywhere.
Are you, can you hear me? Frozen. Oh, you're frozen on my screen. Sorry.
It's okay. Sorry. I was asking you, you know, how do you recognize when you have hit up against an obstacle that will trigger you and but you're going in a pattern over and over and over again, and you don't seem to recognize that this is what is happening. Like for me, I know now that when I'm starting to feel myself get going backwards, that I need to stop and do something different. But those people who may not recognize that, what do you do? How do you start to recognize those patterns in your life that will
probably keep a journal of what's happening. Mm-hmm. Is it associated with anything? Is there a pattern that they can identify? Mm-hmm. Consult a professional who can ask probing questions to help them, you know, bring some clarity.
Right. And those are all, oh my gosh, it is 11:52. Marie, where did the time go?
Wow.
We are running short on time. I must ask you, I want to make sure we get give you the chance to let everybody know how people who want to be your clients, part of the International Sexual Assault Recovery Institute, how do they reach out to you so they can get an appointment and, you know, start turning their lives around?
Yes, reach out to me through sarecoverygift.com, mm-hmm. and I will send you all the information from there. sarecoverygift.com.
sarecoverygift.com. Love it. And your book, Things That Keep Me Up at Night, I remember talking to you about that one. How do they get it?
That's available on Amazon and wherever books are sold online.
Awesome, awesome. And we already talked about From Stuck to Limitless, but we got to give it another plug too. How do you get From Stuck to Limitless and the journal?
From Stuck to Limitless and the companion journal are available on Amazon and wherever books are sold online.
Awesome, awesome. So I got to say, you know, these are the last, you know, few minutes that we have together. And I want to give you an opportunity to say to the listeners, you know, I come up with questions that, you know, the Lord gives to me that come up in my mind when we talk. But what would you like for those who are suffering from trauma to know that I may not have thought to ask you?
Just want them to know that help is available. Mm-hmm. Healing is possible. Mm-hmm. And you are not alone. Mm-hmm. Reach out for support at sarecoverygift.com. Mm-hmm. And I'll send you some information.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, we have a lot of people who are listening who don't know anything about sexual abuse trauma. There are, thankfully, people who've never had to go through that. But, you know, they may have someone in their family, you know, a child, a sibling, a friend, you know, who is even a spouse or significant other. How do you know, what do you say to them about being supportive or otherwise dealing with someone who's suffering in this way.
Yeah. Be a good listener. You don't have to provide the answers. You know, someone confiding in you, they don't want you to solve the problem. They just need an ear. So be supportive. If there are resources you can find and give to them. Don't try telling somebody, oh, it's been 30 years. It's time to get over it.
Right.
There is no timeline, and it's up to that person when they're ready. So if you can get written support, resources, and give it to them when they are ready, then they can reach out. Just just hold space for them. Be a good listener.
And I think those people too probably need to understand how this is going to be a process that requires patience. And the Bible makes it clear that's one way to recognize true love. Love is patience. That's the very first thing the Lord says is
patience.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, I know we said that there's no time frame, but there are people who get divorced, you know, who break up because of this type of thing. What do you say to the person who's thinking about leaving, you know, because this has just been so hard and they don't know what to do, to help the person they're in a relationship with?
I just encourage a spouse to be supportive, be patient, give that person, you know, the time and love. Mm-hmm. Believe in them.
Right.
You know, tell them you're there for them when they need you. So they see that you're not going to treat them the way the abuser did or abandon them, maybe they've been abandoned before. Mm-hmm. You know, just be supportive.
Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I like to say to people too, especially when you are in a marriage, when you can't trust your spouse, when you can't believe in your spouse, when you feel like you want to leave, then you can trust in the one true living God. You can believe in the one true living God. You can recognize his word that says you should stay because that's what you promised to do. And you promised to be there through the good and through the bad. So my thing is to always, always let your faith, in him be what sustains you when things get hard in your marriage. That's just me. I don't know how other people deal with it.
Many sexual assault survivors do have problems trusting others, you know, even when it comes to a spouse. Mm-hmm. So get that professional help who can guide you in how to communicate with your spouse, how to develop trusting relationship, how to open yourself to trusting others.
Amen. Yeah. Yes. Amen. Oh, Maria, it's always so good to talk to you. We only have 2 minutes left. And that means it's time for the Teens Talk Truth radio show hosted by my favorite young men on the planet, AJ and Alex Taylor. They talk about hot topics affecting teens in society today. The month of March has been so different for them, because they've had so much going on. Like right now, AJ is, he couldn't do the show today because he's being fitted for his tuxedo for prom.
Exciting. Exciting.
Yes. So
how old is he now?
He turned 18 this year.
So wow, you have an adult.
Yes, and Alex will be 16 soon. So yeah, they are pushing the boundaries of parenthood for me because I've not had to parent adults yet.
Yes,
that's something totally different. So yeah, AJ he'll be going to college soon. But anyway, you guys don't want to miss it. Even their reruns are off the chain. So
yes.
So stay wonderful with us for the Teens Talk Truth radio show. And then on tomorrow, don't forget to be back here for the Boomerang radio show hosted by William, Reverend Dr. Rudolph Demery, Dr. Cecilia Sims, Mad Mike, and me. You don't want to miss it. We will be talking about whatever traumatic thing has occurred to upset William this week.
Poor William.
Two minutes to count.
But you don't want to miss it. It's always a lot of fun. Even when we get heated, it's a lot of fun.
So yeah, guys are hilarious. Yes. I love listening to the banter between you two.
Oh, thank you. So, William, see there, there's good that comes out of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, my job is to stir the pot anyway.
It is, and you enjoy it.
I
so
certainly
very
do.
Much.
Very good, sir.
I have to stir up controversy. You know, that's what makes the show so interesting because, we all have our own opinions, you know, and I disagree with some of the panel a lot. and they disagree with me a lot, and that's okay too.
Yeah, it's okay because it works out. Right. It makes for a great show.
Absolutely. You know, we will not replicate or duplicate Fox News on this network.
No, we will not.
No. Yep, absolutely.
Not on William's watch.
Yeah. I can't believe how fast your hour went.
Yeah, it's
absolutely incredible.
I think she cut it short.
It's 12:01.
I promise. It just went by so fast.
Okay, ladies. Hey, enjoy your Saturday. Enjoy your day. And like Ann said, come back tomorrow for the Boomerang Radio Show where we can start it like early in the morning here. 7 a.m. on the West Coast, 10 a.m. on the East, 9 Central Time for the Gospel Explosion. You just don't want to miss that. Tune into the Buzz 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Go to the website. This broadcast will be up in about 24 hours. Thanks. Just go to the website, thestudio.w.buzz. Share it with your friends. Okay. Don't keep it a secret. Under archive shows, look for the Eden as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show. Under archive shows, that website is studio.w.buzz. You can also download one of our Apple apps. That is studio.w. Android is studio W, available on Alexa, Google CarPlay, iTunes and Spotify. So anyway, enjoy your Saturday.
Before you go, I got to say Doris Robinson, one of the sweetest women on this planet. She's a minister out of Eastern Arkansas where I grew up. She said, thank you both for this program and critical topic. It is so much needed. I just thought you'd like to know that.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it.